John writes into the Equitable Bank inbox. Is the playoff important enough to the SEC that LSU would throw the game in order to get two teams in? No. How many people are picking that are not fans of the Dogs picking Georgia to win this game? Again, I like chaos. LSU losing gets Georgia the 3, LSU the 4, Ohio State the 1, Clemson the 2. Ohio State, LSU in the Fiesta, Georgia, Clemson in Atlanta. I know there's a lot of familiar faces there in the playoff, but think of the storylines. But I still think it goes chalk. And we get Ohio State, Utah. I don't care if it's, you know, the hesitation to Utah is you don't know the Utes. And they're from the Pac-12. And look at the blowouts that we've had in semifinals. I don't care. I think for the health of college football, Utah winning tonight against Oregon, remaining in a playoff spot, getting there is good. They're a new face. They're a good program. They've got a really, really good head coach who, in a world way back, almost was the football coach at Nebraska. If Mike Riley would not have said yes, that was the next stop, by the way, from San Francisco in the meeting with Riley. They were going to stop in Salt Lake City and talk to Kyle Whittingham. Jeez. But I think it goes chalk. I think Ohio State, Utah play each other, LSU, Clemson. Utah has got NFL talent. They've got a fantastic defensive line. They've got a great rush defense. Tyler Huntley is very good. They didn't have Huntley and Moss last year. And they're physical. I mean, look at coaches where the narrative could change a little bit this weekend. Maybe more than just a little bit. Mario Cristobal at Oregon has made strides. They've recruited really, really well. They're starting to look like an SEC team playing in the Pac-12. But Cristobal still has that one game that you go, how did you ever lose that game? This year it was Arizona State in week number 13. And now they get Utah tonight, who Utah has a lot on the line, favored by a touchdown. And people will go, man, I like that offensive line you got there at Oregon. They're talented. They're experienced. But can you out-tough Utah? Embrace Utah. Embrace the Utes. That's a good football team. That's good for college football. If they happen to win against Oregon, things play out and they get in. But again, everything revolves around the SEC. They dictate the weekend. If Georgia beats LSU, the SEC's got 2 of the 4 in the playoff. Georgia's got an NBA minute here in just a little bit, but here is Kurt on the Dingman's Collision Center hotline. Kurt, good afternoon.
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Good.
So Utah is my favorite team that doesn't have an N on their helmet. I love the way they play. Actually, I wanted Whittingham to be our coach before Riley, and I preferred him over Frost. Why doesn't he get more looks at the bigger colleges, like the USCs, like the, you know, other premier names in college football?
That's a good question, Kurt. Thanks for the phone call. And I've wondered the same thing. I also wonder if he has a level in Salt Lake City with his athletic director, the administration, the community, the football program, his staff, where he's very, very comfortable. And in his mind, he feels that he's at one of the top jobs in college football. And he likes it there. And he still thinks he can win and win championships, which he's got a chance to prove tonight. He may also look at other coaches that are friends of his, Kurt, that have moved on and have chased jobs that are bigger and have failed, and it set him back. I mean, he might just like where he's at. But you're right, his name doesn't come up. And I'm also thinking that he probably has an agent that is a really good agent and keeps things pretty close to the vest if there are jobs that are open that his client might be interested in. You know, there are plenty of agents that represent coaches that are not named Jimmy Sexton that will throw their coach's name into the mix to get them a contract extension at their current job. Maybe Kyle Whittingham not only likes Utah, but if there's a job that he's interested in, his agent isn't out there peddling him and keeps it pretty quiet. But they have a really good facility. They've had really good success. He's able to produce NFL people. People know who Utah football is, and he may be comfortable in Salt Lake City coaching at Utah. But that's a really, really good question on why, like Florida State, Kyle Whittingham is not up for the head coach. You know, defensive-minded guy who has still had some offense. You know, he's got some Urban Meyer in him from working with Urban. But that was the next stop. I mean, Harvey Perlman was the one that let that cat out of the bag. When they met with Mike Riley in San Francisco, their next stop was going to be in Salt Lake City to talk to Kyle Whittingham. George, you know, I've already said we're going to do in the summertime when things slow down, we're going to do like a full day of professional wrestling.
Yep, can't wait.
We may have a summertime week where we do some of the greatest what-ifs in local sports.
Ooh, that's a good one.
From what if Chris Peterson would have said, yeah, I'm interested when Sean Eichhorst reached out to representatives in 2013.
Ooh.
What if Mike Riley had said, no, the Nebraska job's too big for me and Kyle Whittingham was here? What if Nebraska would have, 10 years ago yesterday, won against Texas in the Big 12 championship game?
Mm.
I mean, there's so many great what-if stories surrounding Nebraska football, but local sports. What if Creighton had beaten Baylor in the second round of the NCAA tournament and finally made it to the Sweet 16 with the Doug McDermott team? What if Mo Watson wouldn't have gotten hurt? Would that Creighton team made it to the Final Four? What if Dave Van Horn would have stayed at Nebraska in baseball? What if Omaha men's basketball would have won the Summit League tournament last year?
Oh, this is good. That one.
We're going to do a whole week. We'll do some of the best what-ifs in local sports. You could even do, what if Noah Fant would have stayed at Nebraska?
Okay.
What if Karell Buckhalter had not fumbled the ball near the goal line against Texas in 1999? Does that team win a national championship? Because that team was really, really good in 1999. Oh, my gosh. Put him on the board. This could be, we got all kinds of possibilities for the greatest what-ifs in local sports.
I'm predicting millions of listeners that day. Millions.
What if, like, we could even go, like, a step further. I was just thinking of local TV guys. Like, what if John Nicely would not have moved to Channel 6?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yes. This is now going to be a summer. We got a long time to work on this.
Oh, this is good.
What if the Nebraska sellout streak in Lincoln came to an end?
Oh.
Which tonight there will be empty seats at the Pac-12 game being played in Santa Clara at the 49ers Stadium. They used to be on campus. They went to a sterile environment where you got people traveling from Oregon, you got people traveling from Utah.
Mm.
And you're thinking, man, if you're Utah, do you spend money to get to San Francisco or do you wait to go to your bowl destination? And that could be a playoff. So they're going to have plenty of empty seats, but it's not just a Pac-12 title game. It's an epidemic across college football. There was the story that came out a couple of days ago about scan tickets. The scan ticket numbers of Memorial Stadium show a slight uptick overall, but they dropped for Wisconsin and Iowa. Only 60,232 tickets were scanned for the Iowa game. That was the lowest since 2014.
Whoa.
Except for the bitterly cold game against Illinois in 2018.
Wow.
You know, there's always the debate of, okay. And some people get all riled up about this.
Mm-hmm.
They get bent out of shape about attendance figures. I mean, we all know how Nebraska's sellout streak works. Tickets sold. They announced the attendance at Creighton. It seems like it's always 17,000. Get out of here.
Mm.
Okay? That might be tickets sold. But in terms of tickets scanned, yeah. Pinnacle Bank Arena might be one of the few places that I think when they announce the attendance, not every time, but when they announce attendance, it's pretty close. And I don't know if that's an agreement where you have to have an actual attendance because it maybe changes your rent, or some places have that kind of relationship. I mean, I was in minor league baseball. We have a formula on how to bump the attendance. You know, you do a 10% of the ticket scan, not giving away any Marty Cordero secrets, but just. But it's an epidemic across college football that is scary because you have sold the TV, and what happens when that TV money disappears and you got to go back to getting butts in seats? Because you've turned into a TV sport instead of an in-person sport. And now you got weather tonight out in San Francisco, which I was out there at the beginning of the week and it was raining nonstop. It continues to rain. Oh, I bet that field's going to be in great shape for what is one of the more interesting games of the weekend with Utah and Oregon. All right. This will be the question that will be asked. Not only how do you perfect the Dr. Pepper push pass to win, what, $100,000, all these games that they do at halftime. But how can you be the best in the country if you're not the best in your league?
Ooh.
A perennial question that if you are in the playoff but didn't win your conference championship or get there, how can you be the best in the country if you're not best in the league? All right. Well, George was gone. Ben refused.
What?
Matt was confused. Neil wanted to talk about Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell.
Oh, my gosh.
We did not do the NBA Minute, George. I would explain what I was looking for, and I got nothing. So, with us back together.
Can we shout out to Neil? That's probably the last time we watched a basketball game when Bill and Wilt were on the floor.
Neil wanted to talk about Johnny Most. Here's George's NBA Minute.
I get 60 seconds to say whatever I want about the NBA, and it starts now. We got some good matchups today, but let's talk about yesterday. Why is everybody up in arms about the New York Knicks losing by 37 points to the Denver Nuggets? That's supposed to happen. They're awful. They're god-awful. Please stop. Zion Williamson needs to come back yesterday. He'll be all right. New Orleans, he's a grown man now. Like, don't baby him. Carmelo Anthony is getting paid. It's guaranteed he'll finish the season with the Bucks. All right, to these good games today. We've got Melo and Bron. I don't know how that started to be. We've got Dame and Bron. Melo, he'll put up 20 and the Blazers will probably lose. He'll be fine. The Pacers are in action against Detroit. I have a huge issue with whoever is doing the NBA schedule. This is the fourth time the Pacers and the Pistons have played each other. It is December 6th. We won't see them for the rest of the season. Four times? It's December 6th.
Did your voice just crack?
Yes. I'm upset. Gary, I'm upset.
Welcome to puberty.
I'm upset. Four times? In the first month of the season, we got to be better. We got to be better, association.
Did you mention Devin Booker's 44 last night?
No, I didn't mention
that. Or how the Knicks got blown out again?
I did. They're supposed to. They play the Nuggets.
No, there's nobody that goes through life going, yeah, I'm supposed to get blown out.
The Denver Nuggets are the second team in the West, third team in the NBA. They are playing the New York Knicks.
129-92. Two straight games they've lost they've lost eight in a row overall, but two straight games combined 81 points.
Here's what I will say. They should be lucky they scored 92 points against the Denver Nuggets. They are not in the same book. They're not in the same library as the Denver Nuggets. They're supposed to get bullied. Man, I think Fizdale said it was sickening.
Yeah.
I mean, what's sickening is looking at that roster. That's what's sickening.
Oh, wow. I mean, I hit a hot button here.
Adam Silver, we need to talk about your scheduling, man. Four times in a month. The Pacers are 1-2 against Detroit, so we're trying to tie up the series tonight.
Hot. I can't wait to continue this discussion. I stuffed the truck today, 120th and Center.
Yeah, come on and see us, yeah. Yeah, if you want to talk about scheduling of the NBA, we can talk.
Somebody that comes out to see us, bring a football. We'll play catch. Play catch in the parking lot.
Yeah.
We can do, just stand around?
Yeah, you can play catch with Gary in the parking lot.
Hey, that's an enticement. All right, we George, open up a file there on your computer.
Uh-huh.
We are getting some of the great what-ifs of local sports.
Oh, man.
And we will do a what-if show in the summer. Like, what if a quarterback in Nebraska had not kicked a locker? Whoa. What if Adrian Martinez had been Adrian Martinez in 2019? Would Nebraska have won 6-7 games?
Maybe 8.
Yeah. All right. What if the 2-point conversion in the 83 Orange Bowl would have happened? How it would have changed Nebraska football?
Ooh.
Screw the summer. Let's just do this right now. What do we got after us? Anything?
I think USC is coming.
They might be a little upset if we just do what ifs. They want to talk Nebraska Creighton. We're like, what if Bill Jackman would have gone to Nebraska first instead of Duke? All right. Great week, everybody. Big thanks to Matt Verzal at the front end of the week. George is back. That's great. I'm off to Arizona. But first, come on and see us. We'll be out at Stuff the Truck Toys for Tots, 120th and Center, the Montclair Shopping Center. We'll be there from 4 until 6, but it starts right now 2 to 6, and then tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 6. We get kicked out of that parking lot. They make us go across the street.
There you go.
Hey, there is a Popeyes over there. What do you think about that?
Is
there a Popeyes? No. It's a Scooters. There's a big difference between Scooters and Popeyes.
I was like, how do you?
Yeah. I made a mistake there.
I was going to say, have you tried the chicken sandwich, though?
No. That's $4. I'm about as frugal as you get.
Oh, man.
Who's paying $4 for a chicken sandwich that I got to go through a drive-thru? Now, if I'm sitting down in a restaurant, I'll pay $4.
Uh-huh.
But I ain't going to that Popeyes. Uh-uh. Mm-mm. I go through drive-thru and I got my windows rolled up and the door is locked.
Gary.
During the daylight.
Gary.
You been down that way?
You don't have to just go to that one. There's other Popeyes in the area.
Yeah, but if you're going to go to a Popeyes, go to a real Popeyes. I ain't going to a Popeyes in the suburbs.
I'm done.
Talk to you on Monday.